Blog Hello. Talk Radio.
Hello, Blog Talk Radio.
I am Trent Van Dries, and this is OVW Overview, the once-a-month podcast that covers all the wackiness, and I do mean the wackiness that is Ohio Valley Wrestling, which is, of course, the official developmental territory for TNA Wrestling. And, well, we have a great show lined up for you folks today. It's Father's Day, so all you guys that have ever slipped one by the goalie, and have a wee one, congratulations to you. And to you, I say, get your mama ready, because we have a show today. We have not one guest, but I think we're going to have two. The psychedelic superstar, Chris Silvio, OVW wrestler and the Ring of Honor wrestler, one of the hotter wrestlers around in 2012, will be our guest today. And maybe his trusty sidekick, Mo Green, as well. So this is like a psychedelic show, so maybe you should right now do whatever it is you have to do, you know, to get ready for kind of a hippie kind of a mode. You got kind of a vibe going on here today. And I don't know who's all is on the line. They don't tell me shit around here, but I'll pass it over to my sidekick, the co-host from Norcross, Georgia, the living legend himself, Larry Goodman. How you doing, Larry?
I'm fine. I am psyched for the psychedelic superstar, let me tell you.
Oh, me too, man. I don't even smoke pot, but I thought about it this morning. I got to tell you, you know.
Whoa.
I didn't. I wanted to stay sober for this greatness, but I'm. Who do we have on the line, Larry? You're the man behind the switchboard. You're the man controlling the show. You're the man. You know, get your mama ready, Larry. Tell me what's going on here, buddy.
I do believe the gang is all here, including.
Okay.
Including the former six-time and almost seven-time OVW television champion, Muhammad Ali Vaez.
Hogwash. I'm the seven-time champion. Ken Wayne screwed me.
You're a five-time champion. You're a five-time champion. You finally got what's coming to you. How you doing, Ali?
I'm doing pretty good despite the ample disrespect. You know, you guys saw me get screwed. I beat Jamin fair and square. They took it away. That's number seven in the books. Seven different people I have pinned to the mat and won the television title from. I'm a seven-time champion. But to get in the mood for the psychedelic superstar, I have lit some incense. And I went to hula hoop, too. So I can't wait. I can't wait because I got a lot of probing questions for Chris Silvio and Mo Green.
Wow, probing questions, you say. Is this kind
probing.
Of... It's
By the way,
of
happy
shows,
Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, all the fathers. And Ali, you actually sound pretty good today. I'll tell you, some of these months I just kind of wait around to see what type of psychedelic sound effects we're going to get from your phone, but today you sound pretty damn good. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. You know, I upgraded to the iPhone 4S with Siri, so now we shouldn't have any more phone problems on my
good.
End. So, you know, that's what happens when you're a seven-time champion and all those big checks roll in is you get a nice phone. So, you know,
well,
thank you, OVW.
Well, Ali, before we bring our guests down and bring them on just a second, but You were not at the TV taping this past Wednesday, but since the belt was held up after Chris Sharp rolled the pile over, unless you choose to beat Jamin, which, by the way, was a great match, a great 22-minute match, you and Jamin Olivencia, congratulations. Fact is you cheated to win. The fact is Ken Wayne held the title up. The fact is Ken Wayne has now announced the television title tournament in OVW. I was going to ask you, are you going to enter the tournament, or are you just going to protest this? Wow.
Oh, no, no, no. Listen, I'm going to protest because I should at least get a rematch, at least. However, I will be entering this tournament because 8 times television champion sounds pretty good, too. So, yes, I will be throwing my name in the hat for the television title tournament, a title that I have held prestigiously longer than anybody ever at OVW.
You know, this is the problem. Like, you say 8 time, I'm saying 5 time, and 100 years from now, people will look at these records and they'll be confused. This is how confusion happens, Ali. You're causing confusion.
Listen, Trent, all right, let me unconfuse everybody. I beat Jamin Olivencia for my first television title reign. I beat the Metal Master. Yes, that's right, the Metal Master, for my second television title reign. Then I beat Alex Silva for my third television title reign. Then I beat Rudy Switchblade for my fourth television title reign. That's number 4. Then, who did I beat my fifth one for? Oh, that's right, Chris Silvio. I beat Chris Silvio, our Steve Guest, for my fifth title reign. Number 6 was Rob Terry, which everybody saw. And number 7 was, once again, Jamin Olivencia. So that's 7 wins in 7 television title matches, making me a 7-time champion, who's only lost it 6 times.
But the Rob Terry never – I'm not going to belabor this. I'm just going to go ahead. I'll bring this up later. Larry, I'm in a good mood. I'm in a psychedelic mood. So let's bring on the psychedelic superstar, the master of Richmond Lucha Libre, Ring of Honor star, Ohio Valley Wrestling star, Chris Silvio. How are you doing, Chris?
Great. I want to thank you for having me on and for that wonderful introduction, almost as good as Mo Green. But I do want to say one thing. The lousy British robotic receptionist you have there, I think you guys need to replace her. I can barely understand what that chick was saying. And maybe get an American receptionist. I don't know. Even one of the Blossom twins would have done better than the robot. But either way, how's everybody doing today, other than Ali?
Just fine.
We're doing good. Well, we've come to love and appreciate the robot lady. You know, it's kind of like when Mr. B was in OVW, you just kind of put up with it, you know? It's kind of like that, Chris.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Where do you find a robot receptionist, by the way? I might need one for my own purposes.
You got to go to England, and you got to talk to the Blossom Twins and Andreas Rossi, and they have a hookup. They got a whole bot system over there, and it comes cheap. The only thing is, the only problem is you have to marry it to bring it over to America.
I don't know if I'm down with that part, but I am down to get pretty psychedelic today on one of my favorite podcasts in the world. Everybody else ready to do the same, other than Ali?
And Larry, did you say the game's all here, Larry? Is the other?
I do believe we have Mo Green on the line. I'm pretty sure.
Where is Mo?
Wow.
You know what time it is?
Aha!
Oh, awesome! This is beautiful. Mo, thank you for joining us. This is what a thrill. Hey, Mo, I wanted to ask you, have you ever done an interview before? I've never heard you do an interview. Is this your first one?
It's my second. I did a YouTube video probably like 6 years ago, but I do take offense to one small thing. One of you chuckleheads decided to say that I am Chris Silvio's sidekick, and nothing could be further from the truth. It's kind of like Superman and Batman versus Batman and Robin. You hear me?
So which one are you both? Are you Superman or are you Batman? What are you getting at?
You can choose. You be Superman. You be Superman.
All right.
Well, Mo, I guess I'll let you tell the story, Mo. Like how did you and Chris get together? I will admit that I was a doubter of Team Tie-Dye. When I first saw you guys in the dark matches, you guys were fighting to get on TV. And I admit that I was a doubter. Did you guys put yourself together as a team, or was this an OVW suggestion? How did Team Tie-Dye come to be exactly?
Well, I was in Bowen Services for the second time for 7 months, and to be quite frank, I was getting bored. And Chris came up and was like, "Hey, I got this great idea." And, he went by me, and at first I actually told him no because I had another idea in mind. And I sat on it and I thought about it and I'm like, oh, let's make this happen. So we got together and we started doing the dark matches, and a year later we're the hottest thing on the show.
Definitely, definitely true. Well, Chris, I guess I'll ask you, how did the idea come to be? I mean, like, to me, like, the gimmick is, maybe it's not even a gimmick, but the character is, like, it's part Macho Man, it's part superstar Billy Graham, it's maybe some Austin Idol, it's several things in one. It's like, how did you come to an epiphany and come up with this particular character?
Well, man, it's not, I wouldn't really call it a gimmick, as more as it's just me turned up. You know, turn the dial up, give or take about five or six turns, because I'm a pretty loud and energetic guy as it is. But basically, you know, I've wanted to be a wrestler my whole life. I've, you know, been wrestling now in excess of 10 years. Thank you. And I just always, you know, appreciated you know, kind of the old school aspect of wrestling. And I'm a giant hippie, so I figure, you know what? Why not try to give the people somebody like you, Trent, that you could relate back to when, you know, when you became a wrestling fan, and people like myself and Mo Green, pretty much everybody but Ali, you know, and then I'm just being myself out there, having a good time. You know, Mo and I have become great friends, so it's a lot of fun. It's not really like going to work, you know, have Mo Green back there shouting out some awesome things on the microphone. He sometimes try not to laugh at the things that he's saying, and vice versa. I'm just being myself, and it's an awesome time. So I know everybody's enjoying it. Maybe not always so much, but I'm having a good time, man.
Well, this is for Mo or Silvio. I got a Buster Guy's balls on this, so I guess I'll direct it to Mo. Who came up with Silvio's wildly fluctuating weight, which is varied from like, but 240 to 265, and I'm not buying this weight, Mo Green. Where did this come from?
Well, it's one of those things that when you got a live microphone on TV every week, and I don't get edited, I don't have to pass anything through anybody except for maybe Chris every now and then, I figure I'd embellish just a hair, because he is bigger than life. He may not weigh 245 pounds, which I think is what he weighed last week.
Let's be honest.
We do inflate the weights and heights in wrestling just a bit, so it's not completely ridiculous. But, you know, I do stuff like that to make myself laugh, and I see if I can get Chris to smile or chuckle every now and then, too. So it's kind of what I do.
And sticking with you for a second, Mo, let's just talk about, if anybody hasn't seen the introduction, the Team Tie-Dye introduction, and it grew and then it shrunk a little bit, but all kinds of parts added to it. Is that more you just going off the cuff, or was that a collaboration with you and Silvio, or powers of being OVW? You know, give you guys that long of an introduction on a television show is you know, pretty rare nowadays. How did that all come to be?
Are you asking about the origin of the introduction?
Yes, yes.
Lay it down for him, Mo. Kick him in. Lay it down for him. Lay it down
right
for him, Mo.
Well, I was actually sitting here at home in my bedroom, and after we had talked about, you know, getting together and all this other stuff, and I was sitting in bed, and I popped up. I was like, I texted him, "Do you know what time it is?" And Chris, of course, is like, "It's time to steal the show." I said, "No, it's Sylvia O'Clock." He's like, "Tremendous!" So that was the first thing. Actually, the first thing I said, "How cool would it be if I introduced you walking out to the ring?" He's like, let's do it. Then the Sylvia O'Clock thing came out. The Get Your Mama Ready thing, that was completely random. We were in the back one night, and Chris goes, "Hey, man, I got a line for you." I'm like, "Okay. How about Get Your Mama Ready?" I'm like, "What does that mean? I don't know. It sounds good."
Here's the thing, if I can interject for a minute, Mo Green. Here's the thing. We find these things, Mo and I became really cool through all this. We find these things that sometimes we think are the most, we have a very similar sense of humor. I mean, we think some of these stupid things are the most hilarious thing on the planet. So we try to get it in, you know, and see if anybody's picking up on how stupid what we just said actually is. So that's one of the little team tie-dye games we have is we're kind of like a CNC for each other. Hey, try this, try that. And sometimes you get something awesome like Get Your Mama Ready. And Wee Man, in case you've seen, does have that on a T-shirt. But go ahead, Mo Green, take it away.
So that's where I get your second.
Have you guys had issues with doing the intro that long on TV? Has there been people complaining, or is it encouraged?
It's encouraged. It's a highlight of the show for people. And if you watch last week's TV show, and when our music hits and I come out and do my thing, the people come up. They love it. We're a circus. We're a show. I mean, we give a full show. We give you action, obviously, with Chris. We give you drama and comedy with me. We give you beauty with Mary Jane, and then we have Wee Man. We are a complete package. That's how we roll, man.
Is that what the music is called? Is Wee Man? I've never known his name. It's Wee Man?
That's a week old.
Okay, that's...
He doesn't talk, man. I don't even know his name. He doesn't talk. He doesn't communicate well. I think he's spent a little too much time with the psychedelics. But that's why he's the perfect fit with us. You know, we don't need him to say anything. Just need him to be him. He's perfect. Awesome. Have you seen the guy?
Well, Chris, I was going to ask you, how did the entourage come to be? I mean, you got Mary Jane, the hula hoop girl, and then Wee Man. How did you acquire the entourage? I was guessing. Was Mary Jane one of the Mondo Wrestle and a Go-Go performers at one point, or am I off base on that?
She was, yes. But basically, here's how it went. Step one, Mo Green. Then we got him. Me and Mo having a good time, figuring out some stuff that's coming along. I had this vision. I don't know what the hell I was doing, but I had this vision. Wouldn't it be awesome if I had these lights on me and I had some girls come out just doing a hula hoop? Once again, I thought it would make Mo laugh. And it would definitely make me happy to come out with girls hula hooping. I mean, who wouldn't be happy if something like that happened to them? Am I right?
Right.
Yeah, right. You know. So anyway, I asked, these Mondo girls do all kinds of stuff, man. They can, like, bend in a pretzel. They can blow fire. They can lift cars off of babies. They can leap tall buildings, in a single day. They can do anything. So I asked one of them, hey, do you know anybody that hula hoops? And my response is, yes, I know somebody that hula hoops with fire. Unfortunately, it's against Kentucky Wrestling Boxing Association laws to have fire inside of a wrestling building. So, we didn't do the fire. Maybe one day I'll get the fire and I'll be a happy camper. But anyway, that's where Mary Jane came from. And then out of nowhere, this real short man in a tie-dye shirt came knocking on my door. It was a Sunday, just like today. It was raining. He was wet. I took him in. I gave him some soup. We really could, we didn't talk much, so we just kind of gestured and pantomimed, and I gave him the contract, said, hey, you want to be part of Team Tie-Dye? He signed with an X, and we're off and running. The origin
of
Wee Man.
Wee Man, I'm glad I know his name. Now, Chris, let me ask you about your finisher, too, the rocket punch, where you jump in the air and punch somebody. Where did that come from? Very interesting finisher. And number two, it's called the rocket punch, but I've heard him on commentary, especially Gilbert Corsi, he calls it the psychedelic super punch. Which is the correct name, and where did it come from?
Okay. We'll start with the punch. And Gilbert Corsi, we need a whole other show for me to discuss him. But let's start with the punch itself. As everybody in the world knows, mixed martial arts is a big thing. That's a very common move in mixed martial arts, so I thought that would be a great, great thing to incorporate into wrestling. So I actually had one of the wrestlers here who's trained in mixed martial arts as well. He showed me how to do a Superman punch. I worked on it for a while. Then I made it awesome to the point where I could hit it on anybody and drop them. And, then from there, Mo, I don't remember what I wanted to call it. It was probably something awesome because I don't ever have bad ideas, of course. But Mo said, hey, let's call it the Rocket Punch. And I'm going to be honest, Mo, at first it was a tough sell, but then it just seemed like the right thing to do. That's how a lot of our ideas come. Mo says something. At first I don't immediately agree to it, but one thing to the fans and wrestlers listening, Mo Green is always right. In case you don't know this, in case his wife isn't aware
really?
Of this, I hope you're listening, because Mo is always right. So we called it the Rocket Punch, and now I knock people out with it, and there you have it.
Wow. So it is a rocket punch. So Gilbert Fosse, he needs to get that stuff right, doesn't he? So, but
I mean, this guy does the news every day. You know, maybe it's because he doesn't have the teleprompter here in front of, you know, at OVW. So who knows?
Well, I'll tell you what. You call it what you want, no matter what it's called. It's certainly been very successful, and King Tide, I did make it on TV, and you eventually won the television championship. And I don't know how many guys you defended against, but you talk about a guy that took on all comers. You took on the good guys. You took on the bad guys. You took on guys that weren't even on the roster. You have any idea how many guys you beat? I think you held the title like 119 days or something. What a run. You consider that the kind of the highlight of your career so far, the television title run here?
It's definitely part of it. I'd say 2012 has definitely been my most impactful year. So far, I started out in 2001, and I think I really gained the most traction this year. You know, just doing things a little bit differently and, you know, coming up with a lot of ideas. But I don't know exactly how many guys I beat. I know it was a lot, and it's not just what you guys saw. What a lot of people don't realize is that we're a hard-working crew, man. Sometimes we're busting our ass 5 days a week. So, you know, you count all the defenses on TV, but, you know, at the live events, you know, I was defending the title sometimes 3-4 times a week. So if you total that, I don't know, a lot of guys, we'll just put it that way, a lot of guys fell victim to the world's deadliest punch, the rocket punch, named by Mo Green, who is always right.
Yeah, what a reign. And just because it's in my mind, it's off topic, but Mo, you are the only – can I call you a manager, Mo? Is it fair to call you a manager? What do you call yourself exactly? A manager or a valet or a butler? Or
valet. Whoa. Leave the butler thing alone. Leave the butler thing alone. I'll call myself a manager / promoter / evil genius. Any of those will work.
Well, you are the only evil genius in pro wrestling I've ever seen that wears flip-flops at ringside. I've never seen this before. Was it just convenience, or was that an actual, you know, addition to your act on purpose?
Again, that was one of those things that I was like, I'm not going to tell Chris and see what he does. and it just kind of stuck. And it just kind of stuck. You know, I was working. If you go back through from the time we started, my look has continuously evolved from the sport jacket and hat and sunglasses.
Right.
In regular pants to flip-flops to jeans and flip-flops to, you know, the regular tie-dye shirt and the derby hat and then the sweatshirt and now the phony Tupac headband and last week it was shorts. There's no you never know what I'm going to do. I kind of just do what I want, and it's a good time.
Your look has definitely changed, but one thing that has stayed around is the confetti. Was that like – I wonder if you were like a fan of the old Rip Tyler $1.98 beauty pageant or something. Remember that years ago? Oh, he was always throwing confetti. So I wonder if that's where your confetti fetish came from.
Actually, that's a really funny story. I started throwing confetti when I was with the Heartbreakers. And the day of our premiere – that's a whole nother story. But the day of our premiere, I was walking through back, and I saw the paper shredder. I was like, I wonder if there's anything in there. And it was full of what is known as the confetti. And I was like, oh, this will be hilarious. So I run out there. The Heartbreakers had no idea. So when we went out there, boom, that was the first confetti. And I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah, it's definitely part of your act.
It's not just in the ring either. Like, let's say Mo and I are dining at Bennigan's or some other fine establishment. Waitress comes up, what would you like to drink? Bam, right there, confetti right in the face. Would you like separate checks? Bam, yes, I would like separate checks. You know, gas station, you know, he goes in, buy a pole, bam, confetti. So it's kind of cool hanging out with Mo Green. You get to do things like that.
But Mo's just got
Mo doesn't like it much. But anyway, go ahead.
He just got confetti for any occasion. This is, wow, it's this man lives the gimmick. Well, I've got a lot more questions, but, Larry, I'm going to pass it to you and let you guys take a turn at Team Tie-Dye here, Larry. Go at it.
Yeah, I wanted to. I was curious, Mo. You started talking about the Heartbreakers and the your debut with them. Could you talk a little bit more about that era with for you?
What do you want to know? What do you want exactly?
Well, like your thoughts on working with the Heartbreakers in that period of time.
Until seriously this past year with Chris, that was probably the most fun I had had in the business. It was one of those things. It was kind of like what happened with Chris and I. We were supposed to be bad guys. The people weren't supposed to like us, and just the elaborate entrance and the ridiculously over the top, the feathered boas, all the crazy colors and everything else. People started liking us. There was a time the place was going nuts. You hear Heartbreakers, Heartbreakers, and I'm looking to myself. I'm thinking, okay, let me get this straight. We've got two cool guys. We were wrestling Eminem, so we got two cool guys that are ripping their jack, and they got a hot chick with them. And then I've got these two fairies who came out with. I'm in an oversized, way too big, bright yellow suit, and we're the good guys. But it was a lot of fun. Side note: I was approached by Jim Cornette about this idea, and he was telling me about, Morris spending some money, and you know he found these two guys, and you know this is how this is going to work. I'm like, okay. Anybody who didn't know, I was not a big fan of the tuxedo. I wore it. I had a good time doing it, but I was not going to stay in it any longer. And obviously my first full name is Morris. So I'm like, okay, I need a last name. And that's where Mo Green came from. Bought the bright yellow suit, pitched it to Jimmy. He loved it, and we were off and running. So, but it was a lot of fun. It was up until this year, it was by far the most fun I'd ever had as a professional wrestling manager.
Did you enjoy your stint in WWE?
Yeah, I did. I did. It was a lot different than what I was expecting, but I did have a lot of fun. I got to live my dream, man. I got to do what I, you know, you see me. I'm not a big guy. I got to do what everybody and their mother told me that I couldn't do. I got to do what I wanted to do for a living and live my dream. It don't get no better than that, man.
No, no. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I wanted to ask Silvio about Susio and where that came from and how Susio evolved into what we see now.
That goes back to, as Mr. Trent brought up earlier, Richmond Lucha Libre, a promotion that was started with Paradise Kamikaze Kid at the time. Myself and a few guys that we started out wrestling with back in Richmond, Virginia, we all kind of, we did a lucha, obviously, one called Richmond Lucha Libre. We have luchadors, mass wrestling, and a lot of high spots, things like that. The Lucha Libre style, and I was, of course, going to be a bad guy, as I've been most of my career. So I came up with the name Susio. I have a partly Puerto Rican family, so I don't speak that great Spanish, but I can understand it, and it's probably the language I've been around. I was talking to my uncle, and he said the word Susio, and I was like, hey, that actually sounds like it could work in wrestling. The original concept I had for myself was ridiculous, but, I mean, I was a 16-year-old kid, so, you know, we're kind of stupid. Even though we claim when we're 16 we know everything, we do not. Unlike Logan now, who does know everything. So anyway, I had that name, and it got to the point where even, like, people in my family and stuff, like, I wasn't Chris anymore. Once I came up with Susio, freaking everybody I knew, short of my teachers in school, called me Susio. So I'm like, well, people identify with me as this, so that's just the name I used my whole career until I started working up here at OVW with Jim Cornette. And, he basically thought that it would be a better idea for me to, you know, use a more realistic name. And it was. So, you know, my name is Chris, and Chris Silvio was born. But Yeah, Susio, I was trying to come up with what I thought would be a really cool Rudo Lucha Libre name, and that's where that came from. It just stuck with me for 10 years.
The psychedelic superstar that we have now, were you intentionally – one of the things I love about it is that it's original, it's fresh, but it also pays homage and tribute to the old-school wrestling. Were you specifically drawing on any wrestlers from the past?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, I have a lot of, like, some of the people that I know, you know, kind of poke fun sometimes, but one guy they relate to, because he does the same thing, Mike Mondo. I'm immersed in wrestling. Like, I watch wrestling. I mean, you name it, I watch it. Anything from, you know, stuff from the 1950s to Lucha Libre in Mexico to, you know, J Cup in Japan, world class. I kind of watch everything, so that's I think one of the reasons why I've had a lot of longevity thus far is I can always make my presentation and my style different from everyone else, you know, because I'm so well-versed and well-read, I guess you could say, in wrestling. The original, I did want my current presentation to kind of, like I said earlier, you know, be almost a throwback to wrestlers past. I guess you can say paying homage, but I just thought it'd be, you know, it'd be really cool. If I had it my way, I mean, I'd have the camera completely distorted, and it would look like I was walking out in the 1970s or 1960s or something like that. So if you're listening, the production staff at OVW, get some cool effects. Get some, you know, some different things with the camera and, you know, make it look like we are in the 1960s or 70s. But, yeah, that's basically it.
I don't know. I find myself when I see you guys, and I love your entrance is definitely one of the high points of the television hour for me. And I find myself thinking of Superstar Graham when you come out for some reason. And I do hope you get to do the Hula Hoops of Flame.
Wouldn't that be
at some point.
I mean, with Billy Graham, I've gotten that before. People, you know, say I look similar to Graham or whatnot, and I am a Graham fan. He's one of the best interviews I've ever seen in wrestling. So, you know, but I would say I would watch as much Billy Graham as I would of Jake Roberts or Pat O'Connor or, you know, anyone else. But yeah, I just try to, you know, study the people that were awesome before I even started doing this and made a lot of money, and basically see how I could, you know, incorporate everything I've seen over the years and everything I've learned through my trials and tribulations and try to turn to a sleek, awesome, sexy psychedelic package.
Well, it's you and Mo, and the whole package is extremely entertaining. I just love it. One more question, then I'm going to kick it back to Trent. I know this year, of course, you've gotten some shots with Ring of Honor, and sometimes teaming with Paradise. Could you talk a little bit about the Ring of Honor experience for you and teaming with Paradise?
Yes, it's great. He and I actually were, you guys know, we just recently, this Friday night at the Charleston Civic Center, we teamed up again against the Briscoes in a concept that was known as the Radio Wars. If you have some kind of effect, that'd be a great time to use it. Radio Wars. But anyway, the basic premise of that was we had a DJ in our corner from the local rock station. The Briscoes had a DJ in their corner from the local classic rock station, and basically we were saying, well, our team's better than yours, and this guy's station's better than yours. But it was funny because Paradise and I were working out at the gym on Thursday. LAC, a fantastic dream, fantastic gym, much better than Urban Active. No offense to Urban Active users. Paradise made the comment, isn't it kind of funny how we're going full circle? Because anybody that knows OVW knows that Paradise and I used to team together is totally awesome, and we've teamed together for many years prior to anyone seeing us in OVW. He and I were actually each other's first match back in March of 2002 in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, of all places. So, I mean, we've been working together for years, but he made the comment, it's kind of funny how everything's turned back full circle. I've gotten a lot of work with Ring of Honor over the past year. Without taking up too much time going into detail about it, I'd done a few matches with Ring of Honor in 2010. Then I didn't, you know, I took a little bit of time off, you know, to kind of, before I began doing the psychedelic superstar, I took some time off and things like that. Well, once I got cooking, I got the opportunity to do Ring of Honor Television when they were in Louisville, and my opponent was T.J. Perkins. And I, you know, it's kind of good for me because I got the opportunity to do a short interview that aired on television, show my personality, then I had what I think was a pretty darn good match with Perkins. So it kind of put me on the map a little bit and let, you know, Ring of Honor, because they've seen me before as Susio, which I felt like didn't have as much substance because I wasn't really, now I'm just, you know, being myself out there, and that's always what conveys the most to fans. So, you know, it's been working the best, but I got that opportunity to show what I can do in the ring and on the microphone, and since then I've been working very regularly with Ring of Honor. I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of great talent. You know, I respect those guys, and anybody that keeps up with wrestling, I'm sure, respects the Ring of Honor crew because they, you know, they do bust their asses, and they have some great talent. So basically that kind of led with me getting a lot more work with them. You know, right now I'm working my way up in the ranks, just like when you start anywhere else. There are very few people that come to any organization at the top tier. So right now, you know, I'm having a great time. I'm getting very steady work with Ring of Honor, working television, working the live events, things like that. So, you know, I'm just making a point that every time I'm out there, I deliver and, you know, keep on going and make myself into even bigger, even more psychedelic superstar than I am today. But where Paradise comes in, we actually were slated back in 2010 when Ring of Honor first came to Louisville, Fighting Spirit, myself and Rafael Constantine, we had a great match against the Elite that night, which I think kind of opened the doors a little bit with Ring of Honor when they, you know, saw what I could do. And it was actually Paradise and I were supposed to team up, even though I was teaming up with Rafael Constantine, but it ended up being that he had a singles match on the same card and I ended up doing the tag team match. And then we had the show coming up recently in Richmond, Virginia, which, you know, as you know, Richmond Lucha Paradise, and I both had our careers start over there. So I told Jim Cornette I probably, because he wanted both of us on the card, I said, you know, probably wouldn't be a bad idea for us to team together, being as the last time Richmond saw us, we were a team. And it worked like a charm. We kicked some ass in Richmond. I thought we had a great showing. Some folks say we stole the show that night, whether we did or we didn't. But, I mean, I'm Chris Silvio. That's what I usually do, so I'm not going to argue that point. But, yeah, that's basically how this weekend in Charleston came about. We got put back together. We did an awesome job, as we do. That's why we're called Totally Awesome. And had a great event this weekend, good showing with the Briscoes. So, you know, who knows? I know I'm still going to be appearing on, you know, Ring of Honor cards around the country. Whether or not they keep doing Totally Awesome, it's not really up to me. But, you know, if so, great. Well, we're going to have a good time and we're going to kick some ass.
Cool. We've got a caller.
Hey, Trent.
Hey.
Area code 502. You're on the line with OVW Overview.
Oh, I was trying to reach Trent.
This is Trent.
Hi, Trent. It's Double H calling with her report.
Okay, go ahead, Double H.
Well, I'm calling. I'm calling to let you know that it was fantastic, and Danny Davis just, wow, unbelievable.
Okay. Are you there, Double H?
Oh, I'm here. I'm here. Just thinking back. It just is hard, you know. You know.
For anybody that, doesn't know, Ali and Chris and Mo, Double H here, she is a fan of pro wrestling, but she is a fan of, shall we say, like the Beefcake Boys? Would that be fair, Double H?
No, Brute Strength.
Well,
we
like,
go for the Brute Strength.
Like, for example, like, would you be a fan of, like, Rob Terry, say?
Oh, yes. That's very, very good. I wouldn't call him Beefcakey, though, especially to his face. But very, very nice.
Well, what do you think of Chris Silvio?
Yeah.
Oh, I do like Chris. I like Chris. I do like the psychedelic look, but we just don't want to go, you know, dirty psychedelic. You know, we're not looking for Woodstock, you know, mud and all that kind of look. But I like the look now. I love the new pants and looking good.
And Mr. Baez?
Thank you, Double H. I appreciate the kind words.
What do you think of Muhammad Ali Baez?
Oh, well, I think that his look has changed recently, so I think some of the other guys also have to look around the locker room and think, wow, things are changing around here, the way the look is going. Guys are getting leaner. Guys are getting bigger.
Chris
Silvio is looking great, too. So, I mean, you know, you kind of have to think back to yourself and go, huh, what am I missing, you know?
So are you saying Ali's pretty much walking around thinking of, you know, ways
well,
to compare
Ali's
with
walks around thinking about
some
Ali.
Kind of
there's nothing Ali will think about but Ali. I mean, come on. With this,
I think what she's saying,
intimidating
Francis,
for
is that
a woman
Ali has developed what's called a Silvio complex, which a lot of Americans have. And it's okay if you do, Ali. It's natural. Maybe call somebody, talk to them about it. You might feel a little better.
I think Ali spends a lot of time looking in the mirror, and you know, that can be intimidating, you know, for a female. So, you know, we all like to look, but you know, you kind of look at him and go, oh, I don't know. He might be thinking he's too smart.
He might be.
Who is the sexiest man in OVW?
Agreed. Oh, Danny Davis right now.
Danny Davis.
He's like the Sean Connery of wrestling. I mean, he gets better with age. I mean, he's like a fine bottle of wine. You can't afford it, but you want to buy it.
Sean Connery of wrestling.
Yes.
Okay, how much more time does she have on the show?
What, I'm sorry?
Fred, how much more time does Double H have here on the show? I don't think she answered that question properly.
Well, go ahead and ask her, Chris. Ask her. Go ahead. Lay it on her, Chris. Ask her.
Okay. Well,
was I supposed to answer Chris Silvio? Oh, oops.
Well, you're not supposed to. That's just the real answer. Like, who's the best basketball player of all time? Michael Jordan. Who's the king of rock and roll? Elvis Presley. Who is the sexiest, most psychedelic man in OVW?
Oh, the most psychedelic. That would be. You and Mo Green are both looking pretty good.
I'll let you put Mo into that answer. Mo's got it going on, too, so I'll accept that.
Okay, Double H. Well, how about Mo Green, you know, the dark, scared skin with the bald head? Does that suit your fancy?
Oh, wait, I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
Mo Green, what's your take on Mo Green?
Oh, I love the way the new look with him, with the flip-flops and just looking all happy. And he looks happy, and that's always fun.
You're a very happy guy.
Yeah. Well, you never know. Being hanging out with the psychedelic, you know, you could be happy a lot.
Oh, we're always in a good mood.
What about Cliff Compton? What's your take on Cliff Compton?
You know, he's got that in-between look for me right now. Sometimes he looks really, really good, and sometimes, you know, you're just wondering if he's not hitting the gym as much, and I think he's got that in-between look. Maybe he just wasn't tan enough. I don't know. But he still looks good, but he just wasn't that full Cliff look, you know?
What about No Fear Mike Mondo?
Oh, working his way up through ROH. Oh, I love the two-tone hair. It's like you never know if you're going to get Mike Mondo or Mikey, you know? It's just fantastic.
If I can touch on Mondo for 2 seconds, this weekend at the taping in Charleston, Mike Mondo wrestled Davey Richards, and those guys absolutely blew the freaking roof off the building. The one that says there on Ring of Honor television, I highly recommend everybody listening check that out, because it was I was watching from the curtain and I got goosebumps just watching it, so I know the fans are really going to appreciate it. Definitely really, really, really good work by both guys. Anyway,
I read that Mondo held Davey Richards to a draw, which is quite a feat.
Yep. Starting with a draw. It was that pretty much, I'd go as far as to say it may have stolen the show, even though I was on the card.
Wow. I will be watching that.
The Double H, do you like Davey Richards, Double H?
Oh, yes. I love the whole feel of the kicking and the MMA style he sort of brings, or Taekwondo style that they bring. I just want to be the mouthpiece.
I'm sorry? What kind of show are you guys running here?
It's like a dance,
well, thanks,
man.
Thanks for letting me call in.
I thought
I'll
you said you weren't trying to do the whole Woodstock thing. You feel like you're getting a little crazy.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, Trenton, this might be a good time to get a word from our sponsor since we need to do that sometime during the hour.
After that, yes, go ahead, Larry, please.
We will be back in 2 minutes, 45 seconds.
Okay.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Red Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday? Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today. 229-247-0386 or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling. And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
We are back on the Psychedelic Free Love Beat Camp Brute Strength Hour, also known as OVW Overview. I'm Trent Van Dries. We're here with Team Pie Dye this month. Psychedelic Star Chris Silvio and Mo Green. And Ali, you've been very quiet. Listen, are you there, Ali?
I am here. I'm in the process of logging on to terryandpeterman.com because of all the slander that has been said about me during this hour. So yeah, I've been a little bit preoccupied.
What slander has been said about you? Name one thing that's been slanderous, please.
I mean, Chris Silvio keeps throwing these jabs at me for no good reason.
Wait a minute.
I mean, come on now. It's like I'm the guy to beat up on. We had the HH call in and talk about how I spend a lot of time looking in the mirror, which yeah, that's true. But, you know, okay, how is that relevant to Chris Silvio and his career? You know what I mean? It's just, this is nonsense. Every month my parade is rated on upon this podcast. So, you know, I'm going to get professional legal help and throw a plug out to one of our sponsors as well. That's how
Ali, the fact of the matter is you cheated to beat Silvio to end his long TV reign. And then you guys came up with some cockamamie, pot-bellied scheme because you didn't want to face Silvio again. So then Silvio was forced to face Rob Terry because of your scheme. You know, you actually, To be real honest with you, Ali, I think Sylvie owes you a hell of a lot of payback. I think he owes you a rocket punch right in the mouth.
I agree.
Well, Brent, well, you guys have your opinion, and I have mine. The fact of the matter is, the bell rang. Silvio lost. Then he attacked me afterward because he's very unsportsmanlike, causing me to have to flee the scene, so to speak, to prevent myself from getting a horrendous beatdown. I'm just real tired of being picked on, guys. I don't know why everybody wants to make me the victim. You know, it's very hurtful. It's very hurtful.
I do want to respond to that, and Trent, if you'll allow me to. I know, you know, you guys were kind enough to bring me on the show, and, you know, Ali is a big part of the show. So I don't want to get things started on the wrong foot. I would like to apologize to Ali. Ali, listen, man, if anything I said, you know, offended you or anything like that, that wasn't my intention. I mean, I know, we all know that you're a sensitive girl. So these things, you know, this kind of thing can happen. So from here on out, let's just have a good show. I hope everyone other than Ali enjoys it. So there's my apologies.
That sounds fair. But Silvio, will you do me a favor? I mean, do you have plans maybe to get some revenge on Ali in the ring at some point? Because I really think you owe Ali a rocket punch in the mouth.
Absolutely. I've had plans since day one. He won't get in the ring with me. If I could have Rob Terry throw him in the ring, believe me, I would. And Ali, you will get punched, and you will get punched right in the mouth, and it will knock you out. And I think deep down you know this, which is why you're parading around claiming to be an 18-time whatever time television champion. Ali, I'm a one-time television champion because I didn't lose it to anybody. You didn't even beat me for it. Technically, you did, but I think if you were man enough to actually meet me in the ring a second time, I think the outcome would be a lot different. That's just my spin on it, Ali.
See, you know, when you sit on top of the mountain, it's very convenient for all the peasants on the ground floor to throw these stones at you. And I'm used to that happening all the time. Chris Silvio, you know, we've had our wars over the last few years. You were gracious enough to be a part of this podcast and to tell the story of Susio and the story of Totally Awesome and what you're doing now with Ring of Honor. And Mo Green also shed us some light on his past. But my question for you two guys is, have either of you at any point ever in your prestigious wrestling careers defeated the Metal Master?
Well, I don't know if I have, but then again, I didn't really get to square off with the Metal Master. So had I had that opportunity, I'm pretty sure he'd have been rocket punched.
Well, I did, and I beat him twice, once in E-Town, so... I just wanted to set the record straight right there. Maybe the HH should be aware of that. I don't think she knows that I've defeated the Metal Master. So with that
said, why don't you make a T-shirt that says, I defeated the Metal Master, and then you can say that on the front, and then on the back it'll say, I fear Silvio. What do you think?
Because I don't want to give Danny Davis a cut of the sales.
That's fair enough. Well, we can agree on that part.
Hold on a second, Ali. I've got to ask you, Ali. I don't know if this ties into the Metal Master at all, but we need to talk about Chico Martinez. Ali, everybody in the free world except you and maybe Kenny Bolin knew that Chico Martinez was Jamin Olivencia. My question to you is, were you really that dumb, or did you know that it was Jamin?
No, listen, you guys have the luxury of sitting in the seats and watching these shows and seeing everything unfold. Look, on a Wednesday, I'm not watching the monitor. I don't care who's before me or who's after me. I'm worried about who I'm facing that night and how many more times I'm going to win the television title. So, no, I didn't know that Jamin Olivencia was parading around in a mask pretending to be some Puerto Rican. No, I had no idea. One time he walked by me and I thought, that looks kind of odd. But, I mean, come on now. It's not like I'm sitting here analyzing footage of OVW to see who is who and who maybe, you know, I don't care. I'm a top guy. I take it as it comes, and usually I come out on top, as Chris Silvio. So, I didn't know. I didn't know. So, yeah, maybe that looks a little foolish from the outside, but you know what? At the end of the day, who won the match? Who won the match on TV last week, Trent?
Well, Jamin beat you at the Saturday Night Special to end your title reign, and then you won the match on TV when Chris Sharp turned the pile over. And then the belt got held up.
there's always a what if or a but with people. Always. You got to bring up some obscure things that people don't remember. Just focus on the question. Who won the match? Television title on Wednesday.
The one on TV? You won the match and then the title was held up. Yeah.
Yes, therefore it has been vanquished. So the last time I faced Jamie Valencia, I won. Just like the last time I faced Chris Silvio, I won. Just like the last time I faced the Metal Master, I won. I pretty much always win, guys.
Well, let me ask you this. You were even nose-to-nose in the ring with Cheeto. He was mean-mugging you. Even at that point, you should have known. Let me ask you this point blank. Is you not knowing that Cheeto was Jamin, was that the stupidest thing you've ever done in your career?
Oh, he's done way stupider. Go ahead, Ali.
No, one time I had a cage match with Dean Hill, and that was pretty stupid.
Oh, well.
But I don't think it was the stupidest thing I've ever done. The stupidest thing I ever done was agree to be part of this podcast, because all you guys do is talk smack about me.
Well, you know, as much misgivings as I have about your underhanded tactics, Baez, I have to admit that was an excellent 20-minute match on television, and thank you for giving us a good long match on TV.
Yes, it was a great match.
Thank you. Here's the thing about
Ali. I've never once said Ali is a bad wrestler. To be perfectly honest, Ali is a great wrestler. And I think I became a better wrestler when I started here at OVW by wrestling against guys like Ali. But it doesn't change the fact that I don't like him. It doesn't change the fact that he's afraid of me. And it certainly doesn't change the fact that I owe him about 17 rocket punches by this point in time.
Yes. Well, let me ask you.
That's what you call a compliment sandwich.
Yes. Very nice. Nicely, well played, Sylvia. Well played. Very nice. Let me ask you this, Ali. Would you consider Jamin to be your toughest opponent? It just seems like you guys are so evenly matched in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's not an easy question to answer because, I'd be lying if I didn't say the Metal Master was on that list. But regardless, no, Jamin and I have gone to war for, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years now. First time I had a match with him. So, no, we know each other so well. I would say that he is, if I had a nemesis at OVW, I would definitely say Jamin is probably on top of that list. Just because we've gone back and forth so many times over the years. I've defeated him twice for the television title. I came out on top, of course. But nonetheless, he's always been a thorn in my side. He's always caused issues for me, you know. And, I would say he's up there. I'd also say Chris Silvio is on that list, too. There was a time a few years ago where I was not on TV, and I had about a four-month stint of only doing live events and house shows. And I was married to Chris Silvio and to the Kamikaze Kid at the time. And it was a very tremendously enjoyable experience because I won every one of those matches. But just working with those guys every week, you know, it put the fun back in wrestling. This was before Chris smoked pot and was a hippie. This was back when he was a respectable Susio. But nonetheless, there's a long list of nemesis that I've had at OVW. And I would say Jamin and Chris Silvio are on top of the list. I've never had a match with Mo Green. But he has been ringside for some of my matches. He's hit me with his flip-flop a few times. It hurts. I put him on that list as well, along with Dean Hill, because I'm the only guy in this company who's wrestled Dean Hill.
Wow.
That's a good answer.
Mo Green, I'll get to you in just a minute. Sylvia, I want to ask you something.
Please.
I know you know Chris Sharp from your days back in Richmond. You kind of came along with you in Paradise OVW. This Chris Sharp, heel referee turn going bad, joining the family. What's your take on that?
Chris Sharp is like a tick. For several years, he's just been like a little parasite that always leaks himself onto me. When he moved here, I let him sleep on my couch. I eventually allowed him to have a bed in my home so he had a place he could stay. Showed him the ropes, introduced himself to the guys in OVW, put in a good word for him with Danny Davis, Rip Rogers. Basically, I nurtured him. I fed him. I put him up on his little feet, put a ref shirt on him and said, you know, go ahead and take on the world, kid. And to be perfectly honest, a large part of me always disliked Chris Sharp. I liked him enough to, you know, allow him to leech off of me, vagabond that he is. I allowed him to do that. But recently, all those reservations I've had about Chris Sharp since I've known. By the way, I got Chris Sharp started back in this business some years ago. And since that day, there's always been some kind of disdain towards him. But he kind of grows on you. He's like a fungus. You learn to tolerate him, and sometimes you learn to like the fungus, as me and myself and Mo Green both know. Sometimes the fungus is a very good thing. But as of recent, all the bad qualities I've always hated about Chris Sharp has shown, and I definitely owe him a very hard punch in the face, and he knows it's coming. So as soon as I get that opportunity, I hate to hit a girl. You know, I don't advocate anything like that. I'm not Chris Brown. I'm Chris Silvio. But Sharp's got one coming to him, and that is for real, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, I'd like to interject here right now because, again, now you guys are done crucifying me, and now you've moved on to young Chris Sharp. And the package is someone that I've known for about 5 or 6 years now. I've taken him under my wing. And I'll tell you what, and I'll go on record to say this, is that Chris Sharp is one of the best referees in the wrestling business today. He is so good at what he does, and he always calls it right down the middle. So his credibility is impeccable. But Steve's just a career-minded guy who saw an opportunity. You know, we're all working towards a higher goal. Chris Sharp saw an opportunity to take that, and he took it. And who can blame Chris Sharp? Who can blame Chris Sharp? Who in their life has not taken some kind of advantage when an opportunity presented itself? Look yourself in the mirror and say you haven't done that.
Well, anybody that's actually a real man and has a mind of their own, if you recall, I had a similar situation a couple months back where I had the opportunity to join up with all you goons and be the cool guy in the family doing what other people tell me to do and listening to somebody else that isn't me and not having a brain for myself, much like Ali and Sharp. But I turned that down. And decided that going my own route is the best way to go. So maybe if you guys had a backbone, you wouldn't need somebody in your ear all the time telling you what to do. So that's just my two cents.
Thank you for that, because that led to television title reign number 5. Number 5.
Is Mo Green there? Is Mo
yes.
Mo,
I am here.
Good deal. Thank you. I'm going to direct this one at you. Do you think that Chris Sharp turned bad because Josette Bynum gave up the goods? You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Well, yes.
She does have a bit of a reputation. I'm trying to be political here, but that's probably what happened.
Because if you watch the TV months before, she was, you know, definitely, she broke a couple dates with him in the whole nine yards. You know what I mean? So something was going on there. I don't know what.
Well, she threw it at him and he caught it. But that'll be fun. I have no idea, and I just hope he gets his shot. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, Mo, let me ask you, let me stick with you. In the past month, it's pretty rare in pro wrestling to actually meet a board of directors member, but we've met one, boy have we ever, in Danny Davis' old tag team partner, Nightmare Ken Wayne, and everything is topsy-turvy. What is your take of the addition to Ken Wayne to OVW, Mo?
What are my thoughts on the addition, Wayne?
Yes.
This is a little bit interesting because I actually, before I got in the business, I met Ken in Memphis. He, weirdly enough, he's a friend of my dad's. And I came full circle, seeing him come out a couple weeks ago, it kind of brought my career full circle because I actually asked him to train me, and little did I know that the Davis Arena was a mile from my house. So it was satisfying. It was really cool for that whole circle thing, and it was just nice to see there finally be some justice. It was a little late for us, but we're willing to get in a fight and do what we got to do. But it's nice to see a new sheriff in town.
And I guess I'll direct one to you, Ali. Now, coming up at the July 7th Saturday Night Special is a very unusual Best of Seven series. Danny Davis is going to pick four guys, and Joseph Bynum's going to pick at least four guys. And whoever wins the Best of Seven series between Bynum and Davis, his teams, I guess not teams, whoever wins the Best of Seven matches, is going to be in control of OVW, Danny Davis and Joseph Bynum. Do you think this is fair, Ali? Are you hoping to be one of the picks of Joseph Bynum on July 7th?
I wouldn't say I'm hoping. I know I will be one of the picks of Joseph Bynum because I'm the longest-reigning television champion and the man at OVW. So, yes, I think it's fair because we're going to win. We have Rob Terry already on our side. It's only a matter of time before Joseph picks me. I'll defeat whoever they throw at me. I hope it's Chris Sobio because then I can deny you the rocket punch as well, Trent, when I defeat him for Joseph. And, you know, once this is all said and done and Ken Wayne's gone back to Tennessee and everything has gone back to normal, I would like to get a really big portrait of the family made. And I'm going to put it right behind your seat, Trent, just so that you know we're overwatching you.
I still hope Danny Davis gets control because you guys have just worn people out. You know, you guys just can't play fair. But Sylvia, let me ask you this, because you mentioned, you know, kind of going good and not joining up with the family. Two-part question for you two, Mo. Do you guys enjoy working face or heel more? And as far as you guys going good, you haven't really changed anything except you didn't join the family. I mean, I guess why didn't you join them, I guess is my question.
I don't think, Mo, and I think we transcend psychedelic pun intended on that. I think we transcend beyond good guy, bad guy. We're what we are. We're ourselves. We're entertaining. I'm a freaking phenomenal wrestler. Mo's the best manager in the business today. And we have one of the most entertaining acts you'll see in any form of entertainment or any sport. Just being out there and doing my thing and having the people enjoy it means everything to me. I don't really care, to be honest, because, frankly, the majority of the time, people are kind of into me. I'm a very likable guy. You know, this is why you have me on the show. We're having such a great time here today on the OVW Overview. So I don't know. What do you think, Musky?
Well, it's your humility that made me decide to join up with you and form this powerful collective that is known as Team Tie-Dye. And I got to agree with you. I am the best manager in wrestling. I'm the best manager ever in OVW, head and shoulders, considering I'm only 5'4". That's really funny. And frankly, you're the best talent. You're the most talented guy I've worked with. So, and the beauty of it is we get to go and just be ourselves. The people didn't get behind it. We didn't care. The people finally got behind it. They finally woke up. They finally realized who runs business, who the stars of the show are, or who is stealing the show. And they get it. The fans got it, so they're cheering us. There may come a time where they don't like us anymore, but we're going to still be the same guys doing what we do, still on the show, and that is how it is.
Well, Mo, a question for you. What are your memories of you managing Cliff Compton at OVW when he was Mr. Media, and was it kind of surreal for you this past Wednesday to go against Compton with your current charge of Mr. Silvio?
For those of, who may not remember, I had been out of OVW for a while, and I found Cliff, helped reinvent him, make him a star, and got him to the OVW heavyweight title, and it was a lot of fun. That was actually probably the beginning of the evolution of Mo Green as you see him now, with the silly string added with confetti and the crazy nonsense and the elaborate entrances and all that stuff. So Cliff's a lot of fun to work with. He's a talented guy. He's just no Chris Sylvia.
And I think, Mo, correct me if I'm wrong, when you came back in, wasn't that when Cornette came back? And was Cornette kind of behind you coming back in at OVW?
I saw him just randomly around town, and I hate to do this, but you know, because Jimmy's a dear friend and a legend in the business, but I gotta be honest. He absolutely begged me to come back. He's like, I need talent. And what OVW has been missing something since you've been gone. OVW has been missing greatness of Mo Green. And I'm like, Jimmy, I got you. I'll do it. So that's what, kind of what happened is I went.
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, just honestly, I've always got the feeling that, you were kind of a Cornette favorite there. I could just tell he really liked your act. So you can see it on him. So, which is very cool. Now, Silvio, it just popped in my head, but going back to when Cornette came in, I think that's when you changed your name, because Cornette was changing a lot of people's names at that time, including Ali took his full name, and Constantine had his name changed. Were you guys for the name change that Cornette was doing, or do you think it was kind of strange?
No, we were part of that, Raphael and I. Basically, Cornette, our history with Cornette is I was lucky enough to impress him quickly, and, you know, he kind of took some time with me to help me develop myself. I had the opportunity, as I stated earlier, to work on the first Ring of Honor event here in Louisville, and Cornette basically asked, Danny Davis who he thought would work well in Ring of Honor and whatnot, and thankfully my name came up, but I don't know, we never really discussed it, I don't know how much of my work he actually saw prior to that, but before that event, Cornette came to watch our TV taping for the first time in quite some time, and I happened to have a really solid match with, I want to say, the Elite. Actually, no, I think it was just me and Adam Revolver in a singles match. And I think we tore the house down on that match and kind of opened Cornette's eyes a little bit. So, you know, when he had more hands-on dealings with the show itself, I think he knew he could count on me as a guy that can, you know, go out there and deliver a good match. And he had faith in me. And, you know, it's gotten me all the way to this day, gotten me a lot of opportunities with OVW, Ring of Honor, so. Yes, and in the meantime, we discussed presenting myself, which included the name Chris Silvio, and here we are, off and running.
Now, give us some of your memories of working with the Elite as Fighting Spirit. By the way, I thought the name Fighting Spirit was really good. It came along later in you and Fang's run, but it was a good name. But you guys had so many matches against the Elite and pretty hot feud. Give us a few of your memories about that.
I loved it. It was one of the most fun feuds that I can remember having, and no offense to anybody that was here at the time, except for Ali, if you want to take offense, please do, because I don't give a rat's ass what offense you take. But I feel like at that point in time, that was the best possible matchup in OVW. Like, let's say it was like the old supercard thing, and you wanted to put OVW's best match with ROH's best match with TNA, you know, all the way on down and do this one show. I feel like Fighting Spirit versus the Elite would have been that match. We had really great chemistry. We always did something different. Our matches always were unique and stood out. And they're two awesome wrestlers. I'll give it to them. We don't always necessarily get along, nor do we have to. I'll give it to them. They wrestled their asses off, and they were great opponents. So I loved it.
And what are your memories of during that period, too, getting to work with, he's now in FCW, hot, young Brian Nemeth, now known as Briley Pierce.
Oh, hot young Nemeth. I love him.
Yes.
He's a riot. He's a cool guy to hang out with. As you all know, he was not very seasoned or polished when he was here. He's
right.
Still, you know, relatively new to the wrestling business. So, you know, it wasn't as easy as when I would work with Constantine. He and I knew each other like the back of our, you know, back of our hands, and we could just go in there and do anything and turn out a good match. So it was a little bit tougher with Ryan, but I think I helped him, as did some other guys like Paradise and, you know, even Ali, I'll give it to him. Some of the people that he was wrestling with and against at the time kind of really helped him to improve at the time where he needed it most, and I guess it worked because there he is, you know, in FCW now. So, and he has me to thank exclusively for that. I'm sure he thanks me on a daily basis.
And Silvio, sticking with you for another question here, and this has to do with your buddy Paradise. What is your take on the whole thing with Brandon Espinoza, their long feud, And leading to this past Wednesday, they actually had a ceremony to be partners.
I was surprised as the next guy was when I saw them. They had a really sick match at Saturday Night Special, beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah.
And I was surprised enough when they, you know, embraced and shook hands. You know, I didn't know what the heck's going on or what kind of relationship they had with each other. Paradise and I are cool. We've always been really good friends. But, you know, what he does is his business. What I do is my business, and I really don't want to get into too much of the details of things like that. What he does with Brandon Espinoza is something that I'm glad he keeps me in the dark, too. But, hey, if the fans liked it and if Paradise likes it, good for you, buddy.
Well, you gotta admit,
I'd like to bring up a strong fact about this, actually, guys. I was not present for this ceremony of sorts, being as I was on road duty in Russell Springs last week. But what an illustration of how everything's going south now that Ken Wayne's here. I mean, are you kidding me? What a fiasco we had on our television product. I mean, it's just inexcusable. There are children in the audience watching this, and I mean, I think Silvio has something to do with this, too, because they are long-running buddies, and they do get in each other's business all the time. So, I mean, I'm just surprised you weren't one of Paradise's bridesmaids, Chris.
Well, Ali, I think you're a lot more suited to be a bridesmaid than I. However, you weren't there, A, because you weren't invited, because you're probably not invited to things very often. And what do you care about with Paradise? Are you jealous? Did you wish it were you and not Espinoza? I mean, two guys agreeing to be a tag team, that happens every day, right? I mean, you had tag team partners. Nobody's here putting you on, you know, on some kind of,
I got to interrupt Chris. They were going to kiss until Josette came out. It got a little hot.
I mean, sometimes friends kiss, I guess. I don't know. I think the big picture is Ali is jealous that Espinoza picked Paradise and not him. So I think
nothing could be further from the truth. Listen, I've been married to the TV title, so I don't need another person in my life other than that TV title, which I'll regain for the eighth time in the television title tournament that you've already been eliminated from, Chris Silvio. And I'd also like to underline Trent's point that those two guys are about to make out. Tag teams don't do that.
I'm sure you know exactly when two guys are about to make out, Ali. I'm sure you're an expert on that.
Well, Ali, I will agree with you. It was such a fiasco Wednesday night that Johnny Spade pinned Rob Terry. 1, 2, 3. Any
cricket,
comment to that,
cricket,
Ali?
Cricket.
Well,
cricket.
Yeah.
Cricket.
Listen, every now and again, a broken watch has the right time. Okay, so, yeah, Spade pinned Rob Terry. Congratulations. He pinned him when it didn't count. Who cares? He got the first pick, and Danny Davis didn't pick Rob Terry anyway. So they threw it away. What's the point? Yeah, Spade, I'm glad Spade won because now he's got false confidence going into this best of seven series because he will lose, no doubt. I would love to be the guy that beats him myself for Team Josette, but I have a feeling that Rob's going to want that, and what Rob wants, Rob gets.
Hey, Martin McGreen. It sounds like Ali's getting a little worked up here. Doesn't it sound like he's getting hot? I mean, if you're hot, Ali, say you're hot. I mean, it sounds like you're getting your panties in a bunch, and, you know, I don't want to disrespect you on your own show.
Yeah, but the thing is, Chris and Mo, I guess I'll take one to Mo, is Ali had a good point. You guys were knocked out of the TV title tournament. Where did I go from here? And obviously, I think you guys owe some payback. We haven't mentioned it, but you guys certainly owe some payback to Jason Wayne, but there's no title on the line there. So where's Team Tie-Dye looking to go?
Mo, you go ahead and take the lead on this one, then I'll give my response.
Hello?
Yeah, hey. Go ahead, Mo.
Okay, I was making sure. I've had some troubles with my phone, very oddly, like, you know, just ready to just drop. Well, here's the thing. Had a great match with Cliff. Unfortunately, my brain just completely farted. Time limit draw. Those things happen. What I'm looking at right now is I've been on the phone with Danny trying to get Chris Silvio into that best of seven. Because if you want a guaranteed win, you put Team Tie Dye in there. And that's what I told him. And we'll see what happens on TV. Chris?
Well, how about you, Chris? Are you looking for Jason Wayne, or you got something else in mind?
Well, first addressing the match with Cliff, which, we beat the crap out of each other, and it was a time limit draw. To be honest, what I'm trying to do is that kind of puts a monkey wrench into things. And personally, I think having two guys like Cliff Compton and Chris Silvio in this tournament is good for business because we are two people that the fans want to see and they know we can deliver. So I'm actually talking to the board myself to see if there's any way, around that there wasn't a decisive winner. Maybe there's a way after all that I can find my way back into this tournament. If not, should Ali's prediction be correct that he wins this tournament, which I don't think he will, I hope to be the first guy that he meets in his very first title defense after that, and it will be his shortest title reign to date. And as far as Jason Wayne, I don't like the guy. And this is just speaking candidly. When he came in here, he was a rookie. I took the time with him, as did a lot of other wrestlers, to kind of move him along and, show him the ropes and, basically teach him what he knows today. And the Jason Wayne that we see now is not Jason Wayne that I met, and I do take offense to that. It's like I have so many different things going on right now. I'm focusing my energy on Wayne, but I feel like I'm the rightful TV champion in a way, so that's always in the back of my mind. And now this thing with Chris started. I mean, it was just a match for the TV title tournament, and before we know, before I know it, we're rolling around beating the snot out of each other. I don't know if Cliff has a problem with me. I didn't have a problem with him going into it. If he wants a problem, I'm certainly willing to be that problem. I don't back down from anyone or anything. I don't care where he's been or what he's done. So if we have to get in there again and Cliff has to be my priority, then, any day of the week, buddy. So it just sounds like it's kind of like 90210 or Melrose Place in the life of Chris Silvio right now. I got a lot of drama going on, Trent.
Well, speaking of drama, one question I wanted to interject that I forgot to earlier was, Chris, you've been on the receiving end of a considerable amount of the diabolical scheming of Josette Bynum. What are your thoughts on Josette Bynum and all that's gone down with her?
I guess she doesn't like being turned down. I mean, she should be used to it by this point in her life. But, I've got a lot of people after me, especially women, and sometimes they don't take very kindly to you saying you're not interested in their services or them as a person or anything else. I think she took offense to that. She saw me as I'm a winner. I'm one of the best, obviously one of the best talents we have here. So why wouldn't she want me on that team? But I guess telling the boss no sometimes isn't always going to sit well. And, I paid the consequences, but what the hell, I've never done things the easy way, so... Bring it on, just that I can take whatever you or your geeks like Ali and Rob Terry and Spectacular and Rudy, whoever the hell's in it this week. I can take whatever they want to dish out, so go ahead.
Well, Larry, you got me. We're getting ready to wrap up here fairly soon. This has been such a fun show, though. Larry, you got any last few questions for these guys?
No, that was good. I wanted to get that one in.
Well, Chris, just a suggestion. I don't know, if what you said comes to pass, let's say Ali cheats and gets lucky and wins the TV title again for the sixth time, right? I think what you should do, Chris, is just put on the Cheeto mask because Ali will never suspect it's you.
He won't. I mean, he's very easily tricked. He's kind of like Tom in the Tom and Jerry cartoons, he has very, very little success and things like that, so... hopefully I don't have to pull some kind of ruse just to get Ali in the ring with me, although I'm sure it'll come to
well, me. It's pretty clear Ali doesn't want any part of you. It's pretty clear. So
he knows that. We know that. And I've never forgotten about Ali. Unfortunately, I kind of got tied off in other directions when Jason Wayne came in and decided to open his mouth, and now all of a sudden I got Cliff Compton punching me in the face. I'm punching him in the face. But, Ali, I haven't forgotten about you. So
That's the thing about OVW. It's so much stuff. And this just popped in my head. And, Mo Green, I have to ask you, about the Benny Bray and Taryn Shea fake pregnancy thing. How did that all come about, Mo? Whose idea was this to have Taryn Shea say she was pregnant with Benny Bray and turned out to be a lie?
Wow, really?
It's a fair question, Mo. It's a fair question.
Wow, that's a loaded question, sir. I'm gonna have to pass on a no comment. That's probably the first and last time you'll hear that from Mo Green.
All right, Chris. How'd it go down? I know you'll give me the scoop, Chris.
Well, I'll just put the cat out of the bag. It was Mo's idea. Mo said, "Hey, let's convince Taryn to convince Ben that she's pregnant, and then it'll turn out that she's not pregnant, and Ben will get really mad." So we did it.
I mean, the way it was presented was you guys were jealous because Benny Bray was banging everybody in OVW. Did you guys get a little, was Benny like a cock block or something? You guys get a little jealous?
I wouldn't say we were jealous. I mean, he had his fair share of success with the women in that time period. He did. He got just about everybody. I don't know. Taryn was a friend of ours, and she rolled with Team Tie-Dye for a little while, so she needed some help, and we gave her the help. Let's put it that way.
Wow.
But if you recall, when all this was happening, Benny was Taryn Shea's boyfriend, and here he is running around with every floozy that he can get his hands on.
Breach. Breach.
Yeah, but then when he found out she was Prego, he was trying to do the right thing until he figured out that it was all me. I guess in a way he was trying to do the right thing, but, he still had women throw themselves at him, I mean, it's not easy being Bray, and you guys got to admit that.
It's definitely not easy being Bray. It's never been easy being Bray.
Ali, let me ask you a question. I'm jumping around here, but do you think there's any chance that Double H's favorite wrestler, Mr. Danny Davis, could put himself back in the ring as a wrestler to take you Family Guys down on July 7th?
I'd love to see it happen. I would love to see it happen because here's the thing. In 6 years, I have never seen Danny actively compete in the ring. Never.
Well, he was in a six-man tag. He was in a six-man tag last year.
I was elsewhere. Yeah, I was in Australia, so I did not get to witness Danny Davis in in-ring action, and I hope he does, because I would love to face Danny Davis. Listen, he's never cooked a steak for me. Danny Davis has never made merchandise with my face on it. I got a lot coming to Danny Davis, so I hope he does throw his name in as a competitor, and I would love to face Danny Davis, because I tell you what, Trent, it would be fantastic. Fantastic. End of the story.
I'm not sure if that's how it's going to go, but I don't know. I just see if it comes down to, say, a seventh and deciding match, I just somehow see him putting himself in there, just to see his company.
Ali did have a good point. He had a really good point, Trent. If OVW should ever want to go out of business, go ahead and put Ali Baez's face on the merchandise. That's a surefire way to close the doors around here.
Well, but I think if Ali's face on merchandise comes with a dart, it might sell pretty well.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, who wouldn't want to throw sharp objects in Ali's face?
Exactly. Chris, let me ask you a question. Are there any differences in working a match in OVW against working a match in Ring of Honor? Are there stylistic differences?
Yeah, I'd say Ring of Honor's probably a little bit faster paced matches than at OVW. They're definitely physical. I think I have a physical match no matter where I'm wrestling, which is one of the reasons why I stand out with the fans and the promotions around the world that want to hire me. I'm a very physical wrestler. I like to hit hard, and if you hit me hard, I can take it. Ring of Honor is definitely like that. There's a lot of daredevil stuff, and so they're a good technical wrestling and things like that. I would just say the main difference is just the pacing of the match. It seems to move a lot quicker in Ring of Honor. Time flies. So that'll probably be the you know, the main difference, just the pace of the match.
And Chris, you also mentioned earlier that you're kind of like Mondo, like you, in that you watch a lot of wrestling, both new and old. And you know, I think of you like I think of you like stylistically as a bit of a chameleon in the ring. Like you do some high flying, but I'm not sure it's really your forte. You do punching, you do mat work, you got the psychedelic gimmick. I mean, how would you describe? You throw a lot of good kicks, but I don't know that you do any particular one style. I mean, are you kind of like a man of all seasons in the ring, or how do you feel your style?
Yeah, I think so. I think I have a style that's all my own, which is once again another reason why I stand out. Chris Silvio match on any OVW card is going to be different than any other match that you're going to see, because I am so well-versed. I made it a point, I mean, I said this years and years ago when I first started wrestling, is that I always want to be different, and I want myself to stand out in the things I'm doing. I want people to walk away from my matches saying, how the hell did he do that? You know, just realizing, because at the end of the day, I take immense amount of pride in what I do for a living. This is what I've always wanted to do, and I pride myself on being one of the best at it. I think I take a lot of influences and put it into, it's kind of like a hybrid. I don't know if you recall when guys like Benoit and Guerrero and Malenko and, you know, Mysterio, guys like that hit the scene in the United States back in the 90s. That's basically what they did. They just combined American with Lucha Libre, with Japanese, combined all these great different styles of wrestling, and when it exploded onto the scene, it was fresh, and, you know, people... Those guys all became great stars because they kicked ass in the ring. So I try to go back even further than that. I mean, I'll watch, if it's from the 1930s, you know, I'll watch things like that, whatever I can get my hands on, you know, just to make myself. I try to, you know, kind of paint a picture while I'm in there and put the people on a roller coaster ride, you know. So I take a lot of pride in that, not being a, you know, a cookie cutter, having my own style and having depth to my matches, if that makes sense at all.
Well, I know it was interesting because you mentioned your match against T.J. Perkins at the Davis Arena, and I was there, and that match took place pretty late in the night, you know, so the crowd was pretty tired by then. And but I said to my girlfriend, I said, you know, those guys are having a hell of a little match. I mean, you know, when you see like 15 matches, you get kind of tired, you know.
Yeah.
A hell of a match. But then Kevin Kelly was on Brian Alvarez's show, and Brian Alvarez was just gushing about your match with Kevin Kelly, and then he had you on there. So that it seems like that match was really kind of a springboard for you as far as Ring of Honor goes, you know.
Yeah,
so.
It put me on the map, but I'm not going to lie about that. Because sometimes those TV tapings, man, they can drag so long because you're taping several episodes. Well, Alvarez, of course, didn't watch, not that his opinion would have been any different, but, of course, he didn't watch 22 matches prior to that. But Kevin Kelly, you know, I appreciate him giving me that praise. He's actually always been a supporter of mine at Ring of Honor from the first time I did my first interview there. You know, he basically told me he was impressed with, you know, with what I can do on the microphone, and, you know, enjoys my work in the ring as well. So he's always, every time I'm up there, he's always very, very supportive. You know, gives me ideas on things I can improve on, things I'm already doing very well. The Perkins match definitely put me on the, you know, kind of put Chris Silvio on the map in a major way, so I'm very thankful for it.
Mo Green, let me ask you this. Are you amused nowadays that Brodus Clay is using the Somebody Call My Mama music with his act?
actually, yes. You know, it's the way this business goes, but at least I get to hear my voice every week on Raw or SmackDown. So it's not, you know.
Is that actually your voice on there?
I'm pretty sure it is. It sounds just like me. I was like, man, that sounds familiar. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm kind of flattered, actually. So, go ahead.
I was always intrigued by Ernest the Cat Miller, both in the ring and as a character. What was it like to work with the cat for the short time you did?
He was awesome. It was a lot of fun. I learned a lot from Ernest. It was a lot of fun. We, you know, going up and down the road together, I got a different perspective on the business from him than I had previously, because most of the guys that I had rode with were, didn't have that much more experience than me, except for the occasion where I get to ride with Mr. Wrestling Nick Densmore or something like that. So I learned a lot while I was with him, and he's a character, man.
Yeah, and along those lines, just real quick, your memories of working with the APA, Bradshaw and Ron Simmons. Oh, my God.
I was as surprised as anybody when they said, yeah, the APA needs a butler. I'm like, what? Really? But, I'm forever indebted to Bradshaw for you know, helping me realize my dream, man. It was fun, and, you know, running around getting them beers and had a drinking contest against Bradshaw, which I horribly lost.
I remember that.
Say again?
I forgot about that, but I remember that. Whose idea was that to bring you as a butler? Was that a Bradshaw idea, or how did that come about, or do you know?
I'm not sure how it came about. I know that they had come down to OVW and doing, like, a, you know, rehab or whatever, and while they were down there, I was with Bowen Services at the time, and me and Jerome Crony did an impersonation of Bradshaw and Farouk, which they absolutely loved. And if I'm not mistaken, that is still the highest rated segment in OVW history.
Wow, I've never seen that.
And, you know, Bradshaw kidnapped me, and a couple weeks later, and while I was trapped in his truck, he also said, you know, he really liked what I did, and he was a fan of the stuff I did, and he liked my energy and stuff, and was going to try to get me on the road and kidnap me and take me with them, and that's what happened.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Now, I don't know if you've heard, have you heard that Bradshaw is actually preparing to climb Mount Everest?
Really? I had not heard that. I hadn't heard from him in a long time.
He's actually doing that for some kind of a charity thing. He's losing a little more weight, and he's actually going to attempt to climb Mount Everest legit.
Wow.
So maybe he'll put a Mo Green flag on the top of Mount Everest. You never know, Mo. So I
got to dig up his phone number and give him a call so I can do that. I want a Mo Green flag on top of Mount Everest. That'd be awesome.
That would be so great. Oh, like, Mo, when you first broke in, were you hoping to be a wrestler, or were you wanting to be a manager specifically?
I broke in to be a wrestler, and I trained just like the rest of the boys, actually all the way up until I got my WWE call. Jimmy had another idea for me, and, you know, back then the guys were a whole lot bigger. I would have, you know, if I had come along now, I'd probably fit in size-wise and style-wise with more of the guys now, but guys were a lot bigger. You know, what, Sean O'Hare was here, and Mark Jendrak, and Luther Reigns, and all those guys, and Jimmy thought my best fit would be as a manager, so that's what I did.
There's been a lot of talk the last several years that the managers have gone by the wayside. Have you got a theory as to why that's happened yourself?
The dependence on a couple things, the dependence on valets, they just stick girls with them. It doesn't matter if they can talk, because the guys are just going to look at them. So they have that going for them. And also I think, the wrestlers nowadays are a bit more well-rounded, and most of them can talk. So, you know, why pay two guys when you can pay one? That's my take on it. Of course, if they're wise, they would look at the stuff that I've done over the years, and everybody I've worked with, everybody has gotten much, much better when they were with me than they were without. I'd like to say it was a coincidence, but I don't believe so.
Well, Mo, you've always been entertaining. I always enjoy your work, and thank you for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun. And, Silvio, just one more question for you, just because it popped in my head. Are them boys as stiff as they look?
Them boys hit very hard.
Yes, I would think. Yes,
I definitely licked my wounds a little bit after that, and had a nice lay in the whirlpool after the match. But I mean, I can take it in any day of the week. So yeah, they hit hard. They're not all that friendly in the ring, but you know, it is what it is.
Well, Ali, do you have anything to plug? Any Anything out of Camp Baez here we need to know?
Well, let's see what's going on. I'm going to become the 8-time television champion after I win the tournament that Chris Silvio has already been eliminated from.
Boring.
You can follow me on Twitter at Ali_Vaez. That's V-A-E-Z. And I'd also like to formally announce that I will be taking part in my first ever triathlon in August.
Oh.
Yes. So not only am I a 7-time television champion and 2-time Southern Tag Team champion, and not only have I competed on the physique stage, but I will be taking Team Vitargo to the triathlon world.
You ought to be good at that running since you've been running from Silvio for all this time.
Well, you know, I've already forgotten about Silvio because that's old news. So as of now, I'm putting my head down and I'm training, and we'll talk about, that preparation maybe next month because it's been grueling. It'd be nice if I could just sit around and smoke pot all day and watch wrestling tapes. But, I got stuff to do. So that's all
I got. You have a lot of running to do, Ali. You have a lot of running and you have a lot of talking to do. I'm sure you'll be plenty busy with that.
Hey, guys, think of this. This is one time when his swimmer's build might actually help him.
It might, yes. Certainly doesn't help him in the ring against me. But maybe it will in this. Who knows? Maybe you got a whole new career in your hands, Ali. Maybe you can run for money now instead of just running out of fear.
Wow. Silvio, go ahead and plug in Facebook or Twitter, anything you want to plug.
Yes, you can actually catch me right now until it is updated once we film next week's show. There's a very sick match between myself and Cliff Compton on LVWrestling.com as well as on the Facebook. Give that a gander. I think you'll like what you see. Also, I believe next weekend you will see me on Ring of Honor television. I'll be wrestling Jay Lethal, a very talented wrestler. So I think you'll enjoy that as well. Should be a fun little match, good time. July the 14th, Ring of Honor is going to make its return to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's going to be a real big event there. Already announced, I want to say, a big tag match with the Briscoes, Steen, and Jimmy Jacobs. As well, you're going to see a rematch from Border Wars pay-per-view with Eddie Edwards and the Man Beast Rhino. You'll also see Chris Silvio in action. I believe Mike Mondo will be in action as well, so that's going to be a pretty pretty sick event you don't want to miss. As far as following me, SilvioVWTV10 on Twitter, please feel free. I'm actually one of those people, I'm like Ali, I will converse with the fans. And if you have any questions or anything like that, I'll be more than happy to answer them. If you just want to say hello, that's cool also. SilvioVWTV on Facebook as well. And you can catch me every week at the Davis Arena, 4400 Shepherdsville Road. And then a lot of Ring of Honor shows and events in your hometown. So that's my plug for the day.
Well, thank you, Chris. Boy, you're a good interview and a good wrestler, and we're going to continue to follow your progress here just as fans. We enjoy watching you.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate being on. You take care of yourself.
And Mo Green, you got anything to plug?
I'm on Twitter at Mo_Green_OVW. I also do speaking at schools, and I've been doing speaking at summer camps this summer, talking to kids about living your dreams and how to be awesome. And I punctuate my points with doing things that nobody on this call can do, bending steel, bending nails, tearing decks of cards, things like that. Don't let the tide out fool you. And that's what I'm up to.
Wow, interesting. Larry, you got anything to plug?
Just to stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. We have some changes coming on around July 1st to our news site, so check that out. And, my reports on various shows around Georgia will always be up there.
Good deal. And Ali and Larry, I think the plan is to come back on July 15th. Would that work for you gentlemen? Or as you know?
Should be fine.
I am down. That should work for me.
Okay,
as long as Chris Silvio is there.
No, Silvio, actually, I don't know. Silvio may replace you at some point. He may be in the running, Ali. You better shape up here. So
that would be a smart move.
You want the ratings to go up. Silvio equals ratings.
On July 15th, we will be joined by Mr. USWO from Nashville, Tennessee, Jimmy Daniel, who's been watching OVW lately. So he's going to come on and give his take on Ohio Valley Wrestling. And I want to thank all you guys for joining us. And everybody, stay tuned to OVWrestling.com, watch OVW. And I guess by next month, we'll know who's in control. July 7th is going to be the date, Best of Seven Series, between Danny Davis and Josette Bynum's team, and the winning team is going to be in control of OVW. So in a month, we'll have a lot to talk about like we always do. But until July 15th, for Chris Silvio, Mo Green, Muhammad Ali Baez, and Larry Goodman, this is Trent Van Dries saying goodbye. We'll talk to you on the 15th. Bye, everybody.
Hola.
It's your mama.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.